All right. Take your Bibles, if you would, with me this morning and turn to the book of Romans chapter number 10. The book of Romans chapter number 10. I love my Bible. Amen. I pray that you do as well. I love my Bible. And the Bible is the if you had no other book in the world, you'd want to make sure you got a Bible. You wouldn't need any other books. Amen. The Bible is even a commentary to itself. I appreciate good commentaries, and I've got several books in my library in the office and at home, but there's none that take the place of the Word of God. If there's ever an area where there's a contradiction, this Bible gets the final say. Amen. It is the final authority for a Christian. It ought to be your final authority in all matters of faith and practice. The Word of God. I'm thankful for my King James Bible. All right. Take with me and turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 10. And we're going to look at the first verse and then get started in the message this morning. We're talking about some things that make a great church. Last week we looked at the fact that a church that prays, we had a call to prayer. A church that prays is a church that is a great church. One that communes and talks with God. My dad reminded me of the acronym of the word ACTS for prayer. I've heard it before and I've heard it preached and taught and I've read it. But the word ACTS, A-C-T-S. And if you break that word down when it comes to prayer, the first word A is adoration. Just give God some praise. When you pray, this is a good pattern for prayer. To start off by just bragging on Him. Amen. In the pattern prayer, and the one he taught those disciples how to pray, he started off with bragging on the Lord. Amen. And then the second thing, you got the A, and then the C is confession. You say, what's that? That's repenting. Get right with God. You got sin in your life. You got things you know is not right with God. Get it right. Listening to Brother Jack Wood preach just this morning, and he was talking about sinners that would come forward, or people that are saved. They say they're born again, but they had some problems in their lives, and man, it seemed like everything was going wrong, and they'd come up and they say, preacher, I keep asking God to forgive me for messing up, and it just seems like I can't get victory over the thing. He goes, did you tell God what you did? He said, well, I came forward and told God that I messed up. He said, no, did you tell God what you did? They said, well, I told him I messed up. He said, no. Did you tell God what you did? Did you go into detail about what you've been doing? Amen. I'm not a priest. Don't come tell me anything. I probably won't forgive you. But you ought to be able to come to Him and tell Him. Most Christians that are having a hard time with a Christian life, they know they're saved, but yet they're not getting victories in their life. Because they're generically going to God and asking Him for forgiveness for generic stuff. Amen? Sometimes we need to go to God and say, Lord, I lied. God, I stole. I stole time at work, or I lied about something. Amen? I said, quiet. I'm not preaching on prayer this morning. But if you want to talk to God, come clean with Him. He already knows about it. I mean, why hide it from Him? I mean, we come forward to God like sometimes our children do to us, and the parents already know what happened. Amen? Sometimes my kids come to me, and I tell them, especially that one sitting next to Aunt Bethy right there, and he'll come to me. I said, Elijah, let me go and tell you this right now. I already know. Now tell me what happened. And you know what? He's just a little sinner like we are. He'll still lie about it. You know what we do to God? He already knows. I mean, He tells us, I already know. And we'll lie to Him about it. Amen? You want to talk to God, just come clean with Him. Hey, it's a whole lot easier. It's easier to have a clean, clear conscience and just go ahead and get it over with. Amen? And you know the times my kids come to me and tell me the truth? Sometimes there's still a punishment involved, but it always, always goes a whole lot smoother if they just come clean. And sometimes they get mercy. And they'll leave out. Sometimes they'll come back in and come and hug me and say, Daddy, thank you for giving me mercy. You know what I say? Praise the Lord. Sometimes He gives your daddy mercy too. Amen. But when you don't come clean, it's a lot harder. So adoration, giving praise, C, confession, the T in the word acts. Adoration, confession, teeth, thanksgiving. Just start thanking Him for stuff. Man, when you go to pray to God, you get right with Him, get clean, just start thanking Him for stuff. Thank Him for what? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Thank Him for everything. Amen. A tree fell on my car. Well, thank Him for it. Maybe you're going to get you a brand new car now. Amen. Thank Him for something. And then the last thing, the S, is supplication. Going to God on others' behalf and on your behalf and just requesting things from God. Amen. Last of all. So that's a good thing for prayer is Acts. All right. All right. This morning we're going to look at this. Now, we were looking back in Acts chapter 2 last week. We're not going to go there again this morning, but in Acts chapter 2, we find a church, and we find a great church, one that God added to daily. And there were several things in that church that made them a great church. One of them we looked at last week was prayer. They prayed often. And so if we're going to have a great church and one that pleases God, we're going to have to spend some time in prayer. And I appreciate the faithfulness, and I realize not everybody could come, and then there's some people that just don't want to come. God knows, but I appreciate the faithfulness of the few that come on Saturday nights and pray. I believe God is blessing that. I really do. Amen. We're taking time and setting it aside to come talk to Him, and I want you to know every person in here, except for the visitors. We just met them. I didn't mention your names last night, but everybody else's names got mentioned. I did pray if we had visitors today that God would bless them. So yes, you did get covered. Amen. But everybody got prayed for last night in this church. Amen. Whether you wanted it or not. And I even prayed for a couple people that don't go to our church and other pastors. And a matter of fact, I prayed for one man. Just he's not even a pastor. The Lord put him on my heart. And I text him and I said, "Hey, brother, I prayed for you last night." And he goes, "Man, that's why I was under great conviction last night. It wasn't because of me. But the Holy Spirit knew that he needed something." Amen. And so we got prayer done. Well, the second thing that we find in that great church in Acts chapter number 2 is that they preached everywhere they went. And they went from door to door, house to house, preaching the gospel. And so I want to look at that this morning on what makes a great church. And I want to preach on a call to preach. We need a church that is willing to preach the gospel. Now, I talked to my dad this morning, and the instructions that were given to Timothy and to Titus by the Apostle Paul, never in those two books to those pastors were they told to preach salvation every week in their church. God didn't tell them that. There's churches that every Sunday they get up and they preach salvation every Sunday. And salvation's good. We need it. Amen. But at some point, you need to grow as a Christian. The instructions given to those two men were to be soldiers of Christ. They were to exhort and to rebuke and to teach and to preach doctrine in the church. That's what they were instructed to do. And as a church, we ought to have a church that does those things. But specifically speaking this morning, I want to talk about preaching. And I'm not just talking about in this building, but when we go out those doors, if we're going to have a great church, we need a church that preaches the gospel. Now let me say this. We do not believe that women should pastor churches. Amen. I mean, it's clear in Scripture that they're not supposed to usurp authority over a man. We don't have women that teach men Sunday school. Amen. They teach the children, and when they get up to the teenage years, we got Brother Nick and his wife in there teaching now, and thankful for it, but we're trying to follow God's order when it comes to the church, and we don't believe that women should be pastors or preachers. I preached this one time in the last church I pastored, and a lady came up to me and said, "If you knew my aunt, you would change your mind about saying that women shouldn't preach." Amen. And I said, "Well, I don't know your aunt, but she's wrong." Why? Because it goes against scriptures. I mean, women like Joyce Myers. Amen. Help us, Lord. She needs to be coaching some women's basketball team somewhere, not preaching behind a pulpit. Amen. Thanks for the help. But the word preach means to proclaim. With me saying that they ought not to stand behind a pulpit and preach, and they shouldn't be pastoring churches, everybody, men, women, and children, ought to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the word preach means.
I'm not talking about getting up and pastoring a church or preaching a message or those kind of things for a woman or even for all men. Not all men are called to preach. I think all men ought to have some kind of testimony they'd be willing to share, though, amen, and try to get up and do something. But not all of them are called to pastor or preach. But every born-again believer is called to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you said even women. Yes, even women. When Jesus talked to that woman sitting at the well, and he sat there and dealt with her about her sinful condition, he told her to leave and go tell everybody what had just happened to her. When those women were sitting there at the tomb, they left and they told everybody what had just happened about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And there's other stories in Scripture where women went out and they proclaimed and told about Jesus. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen? It is wrong to get up and preach and usurp authority over men, though, that we find in Scripture. Those verses must be missing out of Joyce Meyer's Bible. Amen. Bible says here in Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, Paul writing to the church at Rome, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. The apostle Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. Amen. God saved him. And he gave him and dispensed to him the gospel of the grace of God, and he told him to preach to the Gentiles. He started churches amongst the Gentiles. He preached, he gave the gospel that we have today. Our doctrine came from the Apostle Paul. But his people were the Jews. Paul was part Jew, and he loved those people, and his heart's desire was that Israel would be saved. You know, today, if Israel's going to get saved, the church is going to be the one to give them the gospel. Amen. We have it today. We preach to them. We believe that the Jews can get saved just like we can. And we got to give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we support the missionaries and Project Nehemiah, they go over there and they're giving out the gospel to those Jews. And if they're going to get saved, they're going to get saved the same way you and I do. God is using the church to win His people. Amen. God said that we would be there. The Jews will be grafted back in. God's not done dealing with the Jew, but right now, if they're going to get saved, they're going to get saved the same way you and I do. And so, his heart's desire and prayer for Israel was that they might be saved. And I want to ask you a question this morning. We're talking about some of the marks of a great church, and a church that's going to be great is going to be one that preaches. It's going to be one that sees souls saved. What is your heart's desire this morning? What is our church's heart's desire? Now, I was preaching in Sunday school this morning about our teaching, about our desire ought to be to please Christ. That ought to be our desire. But you know that he said in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus Christ, the greatest missionary to ever live and die, came to this world to save sinners. He loves the souls of men. Amen. And if we're going to please Him, we ought to have that same desire. What is your heart's desire this morning? Is it the souls of men? Is it things? Is it a job? Is it a family? What is it today that is your heart's desire? You know what's sad? A lot of Christians, someone getting saved is the last thing that's on their list of a heart's desire. Isn't that sad? We have missions conference, Faith Promise Missions Conference. We come together to try to raise money and make promises of how much we're going to try to give each month so that we can send the gospel all around the world. And there's some people that that's not their heart's desire, so they pay little attention to it. Amen? Why? Because things are our heart's desire. Bigger houses or bigger toys or bigger hobbies or bigger vehicles or this and that. All these things we put ahead of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a verse of Scripture that says, will a man rob God? And the answer is absolutely yes. And he won't even put a blindfold on to do it. He'll just rob them. Amen. There's people that rob God every day in their tithes and offerings and their missions. They rob the God of heaven. Amen. They'll give an account for that one day. They'll answer for that one day. The Bible says in Psalms 10:3, "For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth." What is your heart's desire? The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you spend any time with somebody, you're going to find out where their heart's desire is. Amen? I would hope that if people spend time around me that, you know, they would tell you, he loves that church. I feel like they would tell you that. If the people I work with, I talk about this church and about the things we're trying to do for God and meetings and faith promise missions and what our missionaries are doing. I would hope that if you ask them, they would say, hey, he loves that church. Amen. I'm bivocational. I got 2 full-time jobs. And I work so that I could give the missions and be able to be here at this church. I'm thankful for our church. Amen. If people spend time with you, what are they going to say your heart's desire is? You spend any time with you, eventually it's going to come out of your mouth. If you were with Paul, it would be the souls of men. Everything he did was to advance the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul cared about. Paul established those churches. And once he established the churches, he commissioned them to send out missionaries and to support missionaries so that the gospel could go around the world. You know, through Faith Promise Missions, our church can get credited for souls that were saved in Zambia this past week. There were people saved in Zambia this last week from one of the missionaries that we support and pray for. There were souls saved in Mexico because one of the evangelists that we support was down there preaching in Mexico and they were saved. The gospel's going around the entire world. And all those that participate and want to be a part of it, man, you got credited for that. I can't be over there, amen? This is where God put me, but I can be over there by my prayers and through Faith Promise Missions. And the gospel spread all over the world. Our missions have taken a horrible hit in this last year. Not God's fault, but God's people that made promises didn't fulfill those promises, and some left and didn't fulfill them. And we've had to reduce all of our missionaries down a little bit. That saddens my heart to have to do that, amen? But we had to do that. We just didn't have the money to send them that we thought would be coming in. But you know what? God's still faithful, and I'm glad we still are able to do something. But what's your heart's desire this morning? His heart's desire was to see souls saved. Psalms 37:4 said, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Amen. You know what God's delighted in? The souls of men. And if we want to have a great church, it needs to be one that cares about the souls of men. It needs to be one that preaches. You still with me there, Romans chapter 10? All right. Anybody in here hot? All right, anybody in here cold? All right, y'all swap seats. That way everybody can wake up. All right, Romans chapter 10, verse number 8. Verse number 8. "But what saith it? What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Aren't you thankful for a simple salvation? Amen. Amen. The simplicity that's in Christ. He did all the work on the cross. All we have to do is come to him with faith that he gives us and believe that he died, buried, and rose again, and ask him to come in our heart and save us, and he'll save us. You don't have to put a certain amount of money in the plate. If you do, thank you, God bless you, amen. But that's not going to get you to heaven. If we put you in the baptismal pool in the city water of Hayden, that's not going to get you to heaven. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful today for a simple salvation. Just believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. That's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the gospel by which we're saved. Verse 10 tells us, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference," we just mentioned this, "no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And I hope you can say amen right here to this next verse. I'm thankful I can. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm thankful I was a whosoever, amen. I was only 10 years old when I got born again, but I was just as lost and going to hell just like a 50-year-old was, amen. But God reached down and saved my soul. And some of you He saved when you were older. Some He saved when you were younger. But thank God, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's some people in this room that you might have done things and you might have had experiences in your life that you think nobody would ever save me, but God did. That God did. I'm thankful for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know how we can go to the prison and stand there and preach to people that have done things that you'll never forgive them for, I'll never forgive them for, but the God of heaven said He'll save them. Hey, they're just a bunch of dirty, rotten sinners like you were before you got saved. Most of them in prison, the reason they're there is because they got caught and you didn't. Amen. So how in the world can God save somebody that does certain things? I don't know, and I wouldn't, but he did. He said, for whosoever. Are you thankful for whosoever? I know I am. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But I want to hone in on these verses here, and I'll try to preach quickly. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Doesn't say a pastor. Amen? Doesn't say an evangelist. It just says a preacher. Preaching in the Bible is likened to a trumpet. Opening your mouth and letting something come out. The Bible says here in verse number 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Church, if we're going to have a great church, one that pleases God, and listen, if there's anything great about our church, it's because of God. Period. It's not because of me. Man, sometimes I feel like I'm fighting against God. Amen. My flesh fights against Him. It's enmity against God. I don't try to do those things, but sometimes it happens. Amen. If there's anything great about our church, it's not you. It's because of God. Amen. I know you probably won't hear that in most churches this morning. They say you guys are all beautiful and you look good and God bless our church because of you. God blesses us because in spite of us. Amen. I'm thankful for it. But if we're going to have a great church, it's going to be because there's people in our church that when they walk out those doors, they're going to be sent to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. God blesses it. You say, well, I've given tracts out and I've invited people to come and they don't come. It doesn't matter. You do what you're supposed to. They'll give an answer for how they respond, but God blesses those that are sent out. And I want to encourage you, church, this morning that every week we come to our church, you ought to be recharged to go back out those doors. And I know we don't preach on salvation every week. We try to mention it during the invitation if someone's lost, but we ought to be charged up to go out and do something for God. In everything we do, it ought to represent the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our life, our mannerism, our behavior, our speech, everything ought to be that of the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a call this morning to our church to preach. Every person, every man, woman, child ought to preach the gospel. Brother Nick and Sister Emily have challenged the kids in their class to give out gospel tracts. You know, my daughter can go give one of those out and she's doing her part in preaching. Amen? Doing her part in trying to promote and spread the gospel. You say, Brother Andrew, what are we to preach? The answer I've already given you this morning, it's the gospel. You find the definition of the gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. And you say, Brother Andrew, this is a simple outline. I'm a simple preacher most of the time. Amen. It's not complicated. It's not rocket science, but we don't do it. Then what are we supposed to preach? It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's that a God in heaven sent His only begotten Son down to a sinful earth, to a sinful man, to live a perfect life, to die on an old rugged cross, to save your soul from hell. That's what the world needs to hear right now. They need to hear that there's a Savior that can save them from hell and save them from their sin. We preached a couple weeks ago on Easter Sunday about the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. This world needs to hear that. What gospel are you preaching? We all have a gospel. Brother Nick's got a gospel. Brother Bowen's got a gospel. We've all got, Miss Sarah has a gospel. It just depends on what gospel you're preaching when you're out and about. You know what we ought to be preaching? We ought to be preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified and buried and risen again. He said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." You know what most of us are preaching? We're preaching the self gospel. What is that, preacher? That means it's all about me. What makes me happy? What pleases me? And if you're at the grocery store and somebody doesn't agree with your gospel, then all of a sudden you get an attitude because you were inconvenienced, because things didn't go quite your way. Amen. I don't know why Walmart has 50 registers and only two open, but it's going to be that way when you go there. Amen. And me throwing a fit about it doesn't do anything for the cause of Christ. A matter of fact, you know, God could say, "Hey, I got all these people lined up for you to talk to, and they're not going anywhere anytime soon." Amen. And then you wait all that time in line, and the person right in front of you decides to pay and change. Say, what are you getting at? Your life ought to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. Who cares if you're inconvenienced? Amen. Jesus Christ was inconvenienced for you. Hey, if Walmart is as bad as it gets, if that's my hell on earth, then thank God for it, because that's as bad as it gets for me. I'm going to heaven when I die. Amen. I said one time, don't find your spouse at Walmart, but we have a family here that met each other at Walmart. I still don't recommend finding that Walmart. This was an exception to the rule. What are we to preach, preacher? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, not your gospel. You know, there's churches this morning that their gospel is to protest military. There's churches that they protest at military funerals. They ought to pick every one of them up and set them right in the middle of Baghdad. America's about to pull out. Amen. In some of those countries over there, they ought to take them and pick the whole church up and lay them right in the middle of it and say, "Have at it, buddy." Amen. I know our country's in hurting and our military's wicked. The government, everything's wicked about it, but I thank God for the freedoms that I have today. And I'm not going to be protesting at a military funeral. I got better things to do, like promote the Lord Jesus Christ. There's churches today, and I'm against abortion. I'm against it. Amen. Sarah and I just went through what we went through, and one of the things that ripped our heart out more than anything is how in the world somebody could willingly give that up or kill a baby. But there's some churches, that's their entire gospel, is the protest against that. I'm against sodomy. I think it's a sin. But there's some churches, that's their entire gospel. Their whole ministry is to protest against the sodomites and just tell them they're all going to burn and go to hell. Well, man, isn't that wonderful? You know what we ought to do? We ought to promote the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to promote, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If we want a church that pleases God, yes, we're going to take a stand against some of those things, but that's not our ministry. Our ministry, God has chosen to use our church to support these missionaries, to give out tracts, to be a lighthouse in this community so that people can get born again. Yeah. We first started this church, man, it seems like somebody was getting saved every week. It's been months since we've seen somebody saved. Amen. I believe most of the folks that come on a regular basis, you're born again, man. You've heard it, you've preached it, you've raised your hand and said that you're saved. Thank God for it. But we don't see sinners come in the door as often. What does that mean? It means you got to go out there and get them. Amen. Well, we haven't had nobody saved in a while. Well, when's the last time you told somebody? Amen. Well, Brother Andrew, that's your job. No. God's given me clear instructions of what my job is. That's a part of my job. But my job is to get up and do what I'm doing this morning and try to help you get the blessings of God and encourage you. Amen. My job is to study this book and try to have something to give you. I'm supposed to live a life that pleases God and is of the gospel. But I tell you what, I can't reach everybody that you reach. Brother Holloway, you know people that I'll never meet in my life. But you know them. Amen? How shall they hear unless you tell them? If we're going to have a church that pleases God, we're going to have to be one that tells people about Christ. What are we to preach? We're to preach the gospel. We're not supposed to preach anything other than the gospel. There's people that preach politics. Every time you get around them, that's all they want to talk about is politics. We're in trouble in our country. We're in trouble. We are a laughingstock around the world. America is a joke. The cartel, Biden, is the best thing that ever happened to the cartel. Amen? The border's a joke. Our whole country is a laughingstock around the world. Militaries are gearing up, and they tell America to lay down. And guess what? We'll probably lay down. It's a laughingstock. But you know what? I don't serve our government. I serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's still sitting on the throne, amen? And He's not worried about it. But there's some people you talk to, and all they ever mention is politics. That's their gospel. You know what it ought to be? It ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you preaching? Is it hobbies? Is it sports? I know some people that they say they're Christians and all they care about is sports. A bunch of whores and whoremongers playing a sport and getting paid way too much money for it, and you're obsessed with it. Amen? What's the furtherance of the gospel in that? Is this all right this morning? What are you preaching? Everybody's preaching something. Amen? Is it gossip? The only thing that ever comes out of your mouth is gossip? Amen? You want to see what people are preaching? I preach against Facebook, but get on there and you'll find out quickly what people are preaching. You'll find out what they care about. You'll find out what they're preaching. What is it that we're preaching this morning? It ought to be the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to please Him. That's what it'll be. Amen. You say, is there anything wrong with talking politics or sports? And, you know, sometimes there is, especially if you put it ahead of the gospel. Amen. What are we to preach? The gospel. Who are we to preach to? The Bible said there in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 2 Peter 3:9 said, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 through 4 said, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. Who shall we preach to, preacher? Every creature. Every person. We ought to preach to every person we come across. You say, well, they're ugly and scary looking. If you weren't saved, you'd probably be ugly and scary looking too. Amen. We ought to preach to everyone. I hear preachers that get up and they preach that you should never give a sodomite a tract because they're going to hell anyway. It's not my decision on who's going to go to hell and who's not. I'm not going to bring them in and put them over a Sunday school class. But I'll give them a gospel track. Amen. Say, why? I don't know. I don't know if they've been turned over to a reprobate mind. I'm not God. Yeah. And I think it's a very sickening thing. That's a sickening sin. And God has a whole lot of bad things to say about it. I get it. But you know, there's teenagers today that are doing that because it's a fad. Maybe they haven't been turned over to a reprobate mind. Maybe it's just a fad because they're in public school and it's cool to be a sodomite. You know what they need? They need Jesus. They're in a dark, wicked world. They don't need me screaming in their face telling them they're going to go to hell. Amen. They might as well. They might be on their way there, and maybe they have been turned over. I don't know, but that's not my job. The Creator of the heaven and earth, God, that's His responsibility, not mine. And those that have been turned over to a reprobate mind, they've had an opportunity at the truth. Amen? They've had an opportunity. Who are we to preach to? Everybody. Even that person you don't like. Even that person you can't stand to see. Even that family member that you don't think there's any way possible that anybody could do any good with him. God can save them. There's some in here that, man, maybe some of your family said they'll never get saved. Nothing good will ever come out of them. But guess what? When Jesus moved in, he's the only good that he's the only good that we have. Who are we to preach to? Every creature. Every creature. Where are, I told you this is a simple outline. What are we to preach? The gospel. Who? Every creature. Where? Everywhere. It's simple, isn't it? Hopefully people taking notes can keep up with it. Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's everywhere. Everywhere you go, in your neighborhood, at Walmart, at the gas station, everywhere you go, you ought to try to preach the gospel. Everywhere. He tells us to do it all over the world. That's what we're trying to do. Amen. I don't know if we're on every continent with missionaries, but I'd like to find out if we are. And if we're not, I'd like to be on every continent, this church representing a missionary somewhere. Amen. All over the world. You know, as we go to sleep in the morning, or we were asleep yesterday, somewhere around the world, the gospel was being given while you were sleeping. Amen. Thank God that we have an opportunity, that God's given us the opportunity to be able to serve Him around the world. While we're sleeping, even out of this pulpit, on our website, there's people that listen to messages out of this pulpit all around the world. Messages get downloaded all around the world. How are we to preach? Turn with me to Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians chapter 1. I realize what time it is. We don't have Sunday night service. And a lot of you don't come on Wednesday, so this is our one chance to get it. Amen? So just hang in there with me for a few minutes. Philippians chapter 1, look at verse number 27. How are we to preach, Brother Andrew? Well, first of all, your testimony. You know what that is? That's your life. The life that you live ought to be a testimony of the gospel of the grace of God. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse number 27. Y'all there, say amen. Amen. Only let your conversation, that's your life that you live and lead, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. That ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. You know what Paul's telling us here? That your life, your testimony, your day-to-day life ought to become of the gospel. How are you to preach? How are you supposed to get this done? Hey, just get up every day and live a clean life for Him. Get up and dress right and live right and do right and have a good attitude and try to represent Christ in your life every day. You know, you shouldn't have to wear a t-shirt that says, I am a Christian. There's nothing wrong with wearing one of those. If you want to wear a scripture verse on your shirt, praise the Lord for it. Amen. But you shouldn't have to do that to tell people you're a Christian. They ought to be able to see you and say there's something different about this person without having to read it on a t-shirt. A matter of fact, most of the time I see people with it writing on their shirt, A lot of times I say, man, I wish they'd take that off because they're being a bad example to Christ. I've seen bumper stickers that says, honk if you love Jesus. You honk your horn and then they're flipping you off because they think you're honking at them. Say, hey, buddy, your bumper sticker said, honk if you love Jesus. Amen. Or follow me to church. And they're running red lights and they're, you know, on two wheels going around the corner and they're fussing and fighting in the vehicle and say, I don't know what church they're going to, but I'm not going to that one. Amen. We ought to, our life, our everyday life that we get up ought to be a way that we can preach the gospel. When people see you, they need to see a changed life. They need to see a life that is peaceful. Amen. When they're around you and they're around your family, they ought to see a peaceful life, a life that Jesus Christ has brought to you through salvation. You ought to preach your testimony. I have a lot of verses on these things. You know, Paul gives illustrations of him wasting his testimony before salvation. He said he wasted his life before he got saved. You know, a lot of us in here, before you got saved, you wasted your life. But you know what's really sad, Brother Nick? There's some that after salvation, you're still wasting your testimony. Even after salvation. Paul wasted it before he got saved, but when he got saved, he hit the ground running and said, the rest of my life I'm going to dedicate to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of Christians today, after salvation, they continue to waste their testimony. I don't have anything to give. Do you have breath in your body? Just breath. If you're breathing, there's some way that you can represent Christ. There's some ministry you can be a part of. Galatians chapter 1, verse 13 through 14. Paul said, for ye have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20, he says, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation. That's your old life, the old testimony, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. How are we to preach the gospel? Get up every day and live right. Brother Andrew, that's not hard to do. Well, do it. You want God to be pleased with your home and your family? Our church is only going to be as good and only as blessed as the weakest link in our church. Amen? We need God. I don't know about you, but I need Him. Not only through your testimony, but through your witness. How are you going to preach the gospel? Through your witness. Paul, when he stood before King Agrippa, gave his testimony. He gave his testimony about the day he got saved. You know, you can do that. Just tell somebody about what happened to you. Amen? Some of you can say, well, I was in college, and a preacher came by and talked to me, and man, that's your testimony. I got saved as a 10-year-old boy at Charity Baptist Church in Dayton, Ohio. That's what happened to me. Amen. Others have testimonies of a school bus coming by or a church picking them up on a bus or got saved in a church after your dad got done preaching. Or everybody's got their own testimony of the day that they got saved. Just tell them what happened to you. That's what Paul did in Acts chapter 26. And he said to King Agrippa that the Lord told him this. I have appeared unto thee, Paul, for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and those things in which I will appear unto thee. God saved you to be a witness, to tell somebody else about the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope this isn't boring you this morning. I know the gospel is a simple thing, but if we're going to have a church that pleases God, we're going to share the gospel. And you're going to do it through your life, you're going to do it through your mouth, your witness, and then third of all, lastly, you're going to do it with this right here, with the Bible. I think you ought to post Scripture everywhere you possibly can. Amen? Put it on your car. Put every post Scripture wherever you can. And we've got gospel tracts that are back there that have the Word of God in those tracts. And if we're going to preach the gospel, we need to give out tracts. I appreciate what Brother Nick's doing with his Sunday school class with the kids, saying they have two tracts and they've got to give out both those tracts by the end of the week. Amen. By the time they get done, there's about 20 tracts that are given out every week. Amen. Adults, are we going to let the kids outdo us? You ought to do two a day. Two tracts a day, that's easy. We'll do it. Two tracts every day. Hey, we ought to have to fill that track rack up at least once a month. But I haven't put tracts in there in months. That's an easy thing. When you go to a restaurant, leave the tip money in the track. They'll take it. Amen. But if you're a cheap tipper, then get a track from another church. Still give them one. They need it. But don't be a cheap tipper. Amen. My dad's dad in Oklahoma, I went out and visited him when I was a teenager. He gave me a truck, and I got there, and he told me, he said, if they give 100%, I'll give them $1. And he said, if they give 50%, I'll give them 50 cents. But if they give 100% effort, I'll give them $1. I said, man, you're a cheap tipper. Amen? But leave somebody else's track. Still leave a track, but leave somebody else's if you're a cheap tipper. But that's something you can do, leave a track. I know this is a crude illustration, but when you go to the Love's truck stop and go in there, there's advertisements sitting up there in these little holders. Amen? Every time I go in there, I slip a track in that thing. And I open it up. I open the track up and stick it in there so it's open right there. So every time men go in there, right in front of them. Amen? Everywhere. Doesn't the Bible say everywhere? I've left them sitting on the stalls before. What else are they going to do in there? Amen? Maybe their phone's dead and they'll pick up that track. You never know. You know what's sad though? Most Christians today, if God laid on your heart to give a track to another table, you wouldn't get up from that table and go hand it to somebody if God laid it on your heart, because it might inconvenience you. Maybe your food will get cold. Maybe that person will want to talk and talk too long. Who cares? Amen? What if they get born again? And guess what? You might not know it till you get to heaven. Somebody might come up to you in glory. The Bible said we'll be known as we're known. Somebody might come up to you in heaven and say, hey, I want to thank you for giving me that track that day. I got saved. And you never knew it down here. Amen? I have witnessed to folks and given out tracks, and you know, every time it seems I do that, we might not see people come to church because of it, but God seems to always bless our church every time we do. We've knocked doors before, and I want to get back to doing that and putting out the door hangers and holding signs. Man, I want to do all that stuff as a church, and we need to. But individually, we need to give out the gospel, church. If we want a great church and we want the blessings of God, we need to do it. The Bible said in Romans 10:15, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Feet are some of the ugliest things you'll ever see in your life. Amen? It's the ugliest part of your entire body, feet. But God said they're beautiful if it carries the gospel. Amen? In conclusion, there's a lot of Christians that do absolutely nothing for Christ. Amen? Thank God you're saved, but there's a lot of Christians that do absolutely nothing for Christ. Miss Sarah, would you come to the piano? Do absolutely nothing for Christ. When it comes to the gospel, there's zero influence that they have. And that's a sad testimony. Let me ask you a question. I started off the message with asking, what's your heart's desire? Is your heart's desire to see people saved? You say, Brother Andrew, it's not. Well, you need to come this morning and ask God to give you a heart's desire to see souls saved. We all have family that needs to be saved. We've got coworkers. We've got people in our life that needs to be born again. There's people out in our community, in our neighborhood, and family that need to be saved. Christ came to save sinners. And we ought to have that desire. You know, that's how the early church grew. The Bible said in Acts 8:4, therefore they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. And that's how God grew the church. If our church will grow by the blessing of God, it'll be because of the gospel. As she begins to play, let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. I realize what time it is. Listen, if God spoke to your heart, maybe we need a renewed vision for the gospel. Ask God to give you the boldness to hand out the tracts. Ask God to help you to have a testimony that pleases Him. Did God speak?
speak to you this morning about anything, the Holy Spirit of God bring conviction about anything this morning, why don't you come deal with Him today? I appreciate those that have already come. Listen, do you know that you yourself are saved? We're preaching about the gospel today. Maybe there's somebody today that you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior. Today could be the day. We already said it's through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Believe that He died on the cross, was buried, and rose again for your sins. And ask Him to come in your heart and He'll save you. Church, we're to be ambassadors for Christ. Is our life, is our testimony, is our family represent the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? If we want a church that pleases Him, that's exactly what we'll do. And I encourage you to get gospel tracts. I encourage you to post scriptures. I encourage you to do whatever you can to promote the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not be ashamed. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Oh, my child of God, I pray that you're not ashamed this morning. I pray that you're not ashamed to witness, to tell family or tell co-workers about Him. We ought not to be ashamed. We ought to be thankful and grateful that we get the opportunity to be able to tell others about Christ. Would you like to have some of the crowns, the soul winner's crown when you get to heaven? We get the opportunity through faith promise to earn that crown. We get the opportunity through the gospel tracts. We get the opportunity by our testimony and our witness to get a soul winner's crown. She's playing that song, "Send the Light." Send the light. We have the light. Jesus is the light. Amen. You can look up here. Thank you for being good listeners today. In church, I believe God's blessed us. And one of the reasons is because of our response to the gospel through missions. Amen. But we need to have a gospel witness here. Everybody in here has that great responsibility. You know, I'll leave you this last verse. The devil's not happy about it. The devil will do whatever he can to stop the gospel from going forward. Matter of fact, he tried to keep Jesus Christ from being the Savior of the world. And he killed him. He tried to kill him. Nobody killed Jesus. He gave up the ghost.
Right.
But he thought that he was going to kill him and get rid of him.
Right.
But Jesus rose from the dead. Amen?
Amen.
And the devil, the Bible said if he would have known it, if he would have knew what was going to happen when Jesus rose again, that he never would have tried to kill him. But he's been trying to keep us from the gospel ever since.
That's right.
And if he can keep you distracted, that's exactly what he's going to do. He hindered Paul from his missionary trips. The Bible tells us that. This last verse I'll give you. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 16:9, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me." And church, we have a free open door. It's not always going to be this way in America, but right now we have an open door.
That's right.
To give the gospel. Well, the verse ends, it says, "And there are many adversaries." Do you know who your number one enemy is? You.
Right.
If you can get past that, there'll be the devil in the world.
That's right.
But that doesn't mean we don't need to give out the gospel.
Amen.
Amen. We support these missionaries all around the world. But I'm encouraging you, the church, this morning, be a missionary where you live.
Amen.
Be a missionary in your home, in your family, where you work. That's the place that God put you. These missionaries write us letters once every 3 months. What if you had to write them a letter? And tell about the people you witnessed to.
Wow.
These missionaries that are on deputation, they don't have much to write about because they're trying to get money.
Right.
So they'll say, "I was staying at the Best Western and I witnessed to the lady down at the desk."
Right.
And that's all they have to report on, but they got to say something.
Right.
What about you?
Right.
"I was at the gas station. I got to talk to the clerk. The store was empty. Nobody else was there. No distraction. I had an opportunity to witness, and I got to witness to them." Would that be your testimony? Are we ran in and out? Amen? I'm going to stop preaching. But I'm going to encourage our church. We need to preach.
Amen.
And if we want to have a great church, that's what we're going to do. The early church, they spread the gospel. Everybody, men, children, women, they went out and told people about Jesus. He's the answer after all. Is he not?
Amen.
He's the answer.